Norman, how's the painting coming along?
No, Norman Rockwell was the other kid. I'm Indiana Jones.
Well, we can't all be talented.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Indiana Jones Universe, a podcast in which we learn more about the character of Indiana Jones, exploring other content in the Indiana Jones Universe. As always, I'm Will.
And I'm Max.
And thanks for joining us for episode 43, in which today we're going to do another film score review as we look at the music for Barcelona and Prague 1917 from Young Indiana Jones, which forms the 90-minute feature of Espionage Escapades. We looked at that episode a few weeks ago, and now we're going to dive into the score, which plays a large part in the style and sort of feel of the episode. Today we're going to be taking a look at some musical techniques, tones and styles, how the music pairs with the episodes, and also some comparisons to the great classical piece Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, which largely inspired Rosenthal's ideas for this work. So we'll be following along with youngindianajonesmusic.com as we look at some of the released and unreleased tracks from this amazing episode. So without further ado, let's jump into this one, shall we?
So today we will be reviewing about 13 tracks of music, about 30 minutes or so. This is, of course, partly released and part of it is unreleased, all composed by Lawrence Rosenthal. It's from the Volume 1 CD, the DVD box set games, Staff of Kings, and the TV and DVD credits. So without further ado, why don't we jump right into our first song, Boulevards of Barcelona.
Yes, so starting us off with the first track in the Volume 1 CD is Boulevards of Barcelona, which starts off the actual episode itself with this great woodwind theme with some nice light strings and a little bit of a French horn there. And we talked about in the episode that how this kind of has a very interesting feel than some of the other ones, as it doesn't actually feel like it's World War I here. And the music plays a large part in that. Of course, we see all these beautiful shots of sort of the great city of Barcelona here and some, you know, beautiful architecture. And we have this very sort of lighthearted and sort of mellow track here, which is very different from the last episode as well. And so it doesn't feel like it's World War I here, which is really the thing that I took away first from this one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it does not feel at all like World War I. I mean, that's kind of the point of this episode. In this episode, there's really not so much of anything relating to the war as it is. I mean, obviously he is, you know, kind of on a mission, at least in the first and second part. But, you know, here he really only is, you know, it's more focused on his relationships with these people he meets and, you know, the interesting kind of intricate things that are going in between and meeting historical characters. For example, you know, he reunites with Pablo Picasso in this one. And, you know, it's just, the French horn and everything that's in this first section here really kind of conveys that theme that, you know, it's not World War One.
Absolutely. And I especially like as well how this really sets the mood for a lot of the other tracks as well. And it perfectly transitions throughout some of these next scenes here as well. And especially one of the things I noticed musically about this is you do kind of have these two themes. The first theme that we hear right at the beginning, and then we have the violins come in with a little bit of a new theme that perfectly fits over that one. So you kind of have these two themes that kind of come together, and it's a really, really beautiful track. So this is Boulevards of Barcelona.
That dramatic pause there really kind of is a different step throughout this whole, you know, piece here, because, you know, we had those first French horns and now we're transitioning here into kind of the same thing we heard just a minute ago, but on the cello and violins and kind of the woodwinds. And it's very, very beautiful.
Yeah, I love tracks like this that really kind of build throughout. And especially this one, you know, it's a very simple theme, kind of a nice light motif, and it just builds and builds and builds into sort of this dramatic finish, right, with all the strings kind of coming in together. And I like pieces like that, that is a little bit more simplistic, but still gives you a different tone of it. So definitely that's one of the things you'll want to listen for in this next section, is how it kind of gradually builds from what we heard previously. And I really also like as well just how we have this sort of introduction of the guitar in this track here, especially considering that's a big instrument that is used throughout all of the music in the first half here that really isn't used in any of the other scores, because it definitely kind of adds that sort of style of sort of Spanish music during this time period. It really adds it, and you get a little bit of hint of it right at the end, which is kind of like a nice foreshadowing to the end of the episode here.
Yes, definitely. I mean, you know, it just, the guitar is such a versatile instrument because, you know, you can make a lot more than just one sound on it depending on how you play it. It makes such an interesting sound that you just don't expect it to be there, and yet here it's just in there, kind of, you know, spritzed in and out of a lot of these tracks, which, you know, really kind of adds to the depth and the full sound of a lot of these tracks.
And another thing I noticed from that last section of the track there as well is it's very, very interesting how you have this sort of like idea of source music, I guess you could say, in which we actually see in the episode a guy playing a guitar right in that opening scene, and that same motif is actually used in the soundtrack. And that comes up many, many times throughout this first half of the episode, and I really like when composers do that. We actually see characters playing the instruments, and that's conveyed through the music itself. So really, really well done there. And that transitions very nicely into the next track with a similar style, Picasso and Diaghilev.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's kind of almost a variation on our first track here, but, you know, in a way it's much different too. This is kind of almost kind of the main theme of this episode, yet in a way it's not, because, you know, we start off with these low strings building and the violins kind of take the theme, and the clarinet there really also kind of brings out the piano, which you don't, again, we don't hear the piano a lot in any of the score reviews really, but it really fits in very, very well here.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, especially since this is when he reunites with Picasso, and you do have this really nice sort of classical orchestral light mood here that builds off of what we heard earlier. It does feel, the music feels almost very, not serious, but it doesn't feel like a comic relief episode at this point, right? We do have this sort of very nice, sort of soothing music here that goes along with meeting Picasso, and especially when you talk about meeting Picasso, we have the first sort of transition here into what almost feels like sort of rehearsal music, I guess you could say, as we transition into those soloists with the violin, cello, and I think a viola there as well, as they play that sort of light and sort of sharp theme right when Picasso was painting there. I really love that Rosendahl added that in there.
I really kind of like the happy upbeat to this, you know, song. And it also changes dramatically when we transition here into what we hear is a tambourine and a flute, which is very, very interesting. You know, the tambourine, again, is a very prominent instrument in Spanish music, especially during this time period. And so I'm glad that they incorporated it there, even if the woodwinds and the flutes and stuff like that are still in there, as we hear in all our other tracks. But, you know, to incorporate these just minor kind of, you know, instruments in there really gives it a different depth than you hear in just the regular old tracks.
Right, exactly. And again, building off of that idea of sort of rehearsal music, right? When we actually see them sort of at rehearsal, we hear someone on the piano playing something, right? And that is actually sort of supposed to symbolize this idea of source music. And this also sounds very similar to a famous classical piece called Capricho Español. If you've ever heard that classical piece, it does sound a little bit like this. So again, kind of the idea that we'll talk about later with Scheherazade, where sort of Rosenthal got these ideas from for these amazing motifs here. And I do as like as well this sort of idea of the piano and the violin building together nicely. You mentioned the piano there, which I think is really great that they used that in this episode. We always say, I think, in all of these soundtrack reviews that the piano isn't really used. I feel like the piano is used in almost every score because it was used in Oganga. Also in Secret Service, we did have a little bit of piano motifs there. So that's really nice. And this also kind of foreshadows what I like to consider sort of Nadia's theme. Which isn't necessarily explicitly sort of expressed in that way, but we do get a little bit of a foreshadowing right when we see Nadia Komanevsky there, and later in the next track, The Dressing Room, which really builds on it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, especially as you were saying, we say that the piano is never used, but again, it's now been used in what, almost the past three episodes? So
right, exactly.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I guess it's just it wasn't used before that really at all, and so that's why we keep saying it. But I really love the piano here, especially because it's kind of like a minor almost piano riff in a way. It's very, very interesting, especially in this section of the track. It's very, very interesting how they use it.
Right, absolutely. And I love also just a really nice sound here. The transitions between the music sounds really natural, especially going from that sort of, in the first section that we heard with the soloist there, right, to kind of represent Picasso. The transition is very nice. And we'll hear that as well through some of the other tracks, even in Prague too, kind of a similar idea with sort of instrumental transitions being really fluent and going with the episode well. So yeah, let's listen to the next section here of Picasso and Diaghilev.
With the foreshadowing to Nadia's theme, that leads right into our next track, The Dressing Room, which is really, really beautiful. And we kind of have some hints to our previous track here with the tambourine in here and the castanets. But there's also a lot of differences here because we have the fast brass and the fast strings here.
Yeah, this is a really great track, and the start of it actually is almost a sort of measure-for-measure replica of Scheherazade, which is the main sort of piece that is referenced in this episode here. And again, going back to that idea of source music here, this piano part here at the beginning is actually played in the episode when Indy is a eunuch and dancing on the stage. And so it does work very well as you have this mix of rehearsal instruments with the orchestra, and then this faster tone here that kind of conveys like the bustle and hustle, I guess, of sort of the backstage as Indy kind of runs off, and we see that sort of xylophone and the plucking strings and the castanets, like you said, really kind of takes a little bit of a even deeper sort of idea of the great style of this track here.
Thank you. You know, I really love the guitar kind of there in the first part, and then I really love how it comes in the second part and is really there, trembling along with everything that comes in here. And I really love the lovely legato strings throughout the entire kind of piece here. Really, you know, it just really is very emotional in a way.
It is, and I really like how serious this theme is in the sense that it does feel like a traditional, kind of sad yet somewhat romantic theme, which really juxtaposes what actually happens in this scene, right? Indy hides the letter behind Nadia's back and just comes up with all sorts of stuff to really just, hide the fact that he just stole the letter. And so I really like how, again, very reminiscent of music during this time period with the idea of the guitar here and the violin that build very simple theme, but so deep and melodic. I really, really like it.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, I really love the guitar, and it really kind of it adds to the whole kind of theme here. I mean, in a way, I think this is Nadia's theme because, you know, this is the main scene that Nadia kind of has with Indy, and going back and forth with their dialogue, and the track ends off here also with these lovely chimes, which I kind of like. It's very interesting that they add that because you don't really hear bells much throughout, any of these tracks really, but here you hear them, and it's just so beautiful, and it's a really great way to end off this track.
With that, now we're going to move into the main track for this episode, The Contessa, which is a 7-minute track that has a lot going on. And here we have some interesting new motifs that kind of are the main themes of the episode that are introduced during this very long sort of car chase in the marketplace as they try to put the letter in the car so that the Count of Toledo can see it and think that his wife is having an affair with the Colonel Schmidt. So we start off here with this brand new style, this kind of sneaking sound, I guess, right? As we kind of see the Contessa walk down that great sort of long staircase next to that great building there. And we have this gradual build with the brass and what seems also like a low bassoon there. Love the sound on that one. The guitar is still here as kind of a reference to Scheherazade. And then the cellos have that awesome sort of plucking motif at the end there. Really, really kind of cool opening to this track.
Yes, I really love the bassoon that they add in there because, that's not really a common instrument, but to add it here, especially in when this all the music that we've heard so far is kind of, Spanish style music, this is completely different. I mean, the guitar strings are still kind of in there just to keep the same kind of theme, but overall, this track is almost overwhelmingly different than the rest of the, tracks in this episode, and that's really what stands it apart from the rest of them.
One thing I actually wanted to mention about that is for the temp track in this episode, actually the whole thing originally had Scheherazade music throughout the entire episode, which is kind of cool. And what I found very interesting about this is actually, for those of you who don't know, the actual entire ballet performance in the episode, that wasn't actually original music for the show. That was just a special arrangement of Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. And for any casual listener, you really don't notice that it's by two different composers there. And I think Rosenthal does such a great job of incorporating the style and making it flow so cohesively throughout the entire episode. You have different scenes, different styles, but there's, a specific structure and sort of idea that needs to be conveyed through each and every track. So again, this track basically leads up right to the performance. transitions very, very well into Rimsky-Korsakov's music. You don't even notice a difference, and that's what I think you really hear here from the Contessa here, especially because we have some brand new motifs with the guitar and the castanet. So let's listen to the first part of this great track here.
Coming off that sneaking kind of theme, we transition into something that's almost completely different, kind of, you know, building up into this really nice fanfare with the trumpet, the guitar, kind of a dancing theme. And, it, you know, at the kind of, you know, in the middle of the section here, really brings in when they bring in the drums and really has that great rhythm that I just want to dance to.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that it kind of feels like some sort of music you would dance to or something like that, because do keep in mind that Scheherazade is for a ballet, and so you do have these sort of rhythmic elements in these pieces that do convey that very, very well, and this is a great example of that with this awesome guitar and trumpet theme, kind of the main theme of the episode, and again, the rhythm kind of solidifies what Rosenthal was trying to get across here with these castanets that convey this tension, and you've got the whole orchestra coming in on this blaring sound that does kind of symbolize action, especially as it gradually builds and we see the car going through the marketplace. Very, very, very great, and it does sound really awesome, kind of transitioning to a great action fanfare in this track and this part here.
Coming off of that upbeat theme, we kind of transition back into kind of what we heard in the beginning here with a sneaking theme, you know, kind of low strings, the woodwinds, and then there's a bit of a difference here where it kind of, you know, builds and swells up into this big kind of happy, almost a big grand theme in a way with the woodwinds, the brass, the castanets.
Yeah, and I really like how that great sort of fanfare in this section of the piece here does symbolize sort of the opening night of the ballet. We see that opening sort of outside of the theater as this great fanfare plays with lots of violins, percussion, woodwinds. I mean, it's full orchestra sound coming from here. And I really, really like as well how Rosenthal was able to replicate that sort of huge orchestra sort of classical sound. We've talked about this in other episodes, how for Young Indy, they had a much larger orchestra than most television series do. And again, we don't really have any sort of synthesizers or anything. George Lucas was very insistent about, he wanted this to be sort of in the same sort of style as John Williams' traditional orchestra music. And that's what you're getting here from this great theme here. I love those crescendos as well that are very reminiscent of Rimsky-Korsakov music as well. So lots of stuff going on here, and it blends right into sort of this next opening scene here.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You know, this really does just, you know, kind of, it has a different type of tone to it, you know. Just everything that they add in here is kind of a mix between the first and second section that we heard, all kind of, you know, wrapped up into one motif with a bow on top. It's just a completely different type of style, and that's really what I love about this track in its entirety, but especially this section. It, you know, kind of, it just wraps everything up into one, and there you go, this is what you get. Thank you.
one thing that's very apparent from that track is, again, these sort of influences from Scheherazade, which also is evident in the next section here, in which we have this opening great violin theme, which is exactly how it is in the ballet as well, so I like that. We have these light violins, and I like the short indie motif that is thrown in there, the first time in the episode in which we actually hear it. We know Rosendahl likes just throwing those in there. In some other episodes, for example, Passion for Life, British East Africa, has a lot of the indie motif in there thrown in all the time. Here, there's only two spots in which you hear it throughout this entire first half of the episode, and it's really, really cool how he kind of blends it in there with the same style. You don't have sort of like the great fanfare from Spring Break Adventure. As much as that's awesome, he does adapt it to a different instrument, to a different style, and that's really well communicated here through kind of the tone of this piece. And we do have the guitar kind of coming back to solidify that rhythm of the sort of idea of the music during this time period in Barcelona, and we've got a grand finale right before the show. Very abrupt ending there, which transitions right into the ballet sequence right there. I love that part as well.
I definitely agree. You know, just everything in this last section here really kind of, you know, is wrapping it up and then transitioning into our next track, you know, and it's just the way that they, you know, kind of transition the tracks in just in the episode, you know, within scenes and even through multiple scenes where one track plays is really, really great, because the music is tailored so well to what is happening in that scene or what isn't happening in that scene, you know, depending on what is playing. It's just the way they compose it and integrate it in there is so fluent and so great. It really gives you that, like, you're living in this time period with Indy.
And that transitions into the next track we have, Ballerina in Bondage, which is during the scene in which Indy captures Nadia and, well, puts her in a closet, not gonna lie. That's basically what happens. And then there is this sort of opening scene here in which they talk together, and she explains that she's a double agent. And we have a lot of stuff going on in this one. And it does kind of actually remind me of the last episode a little bit. Austria 1917 and Petrograd, there's a little short motif at the beginning of this one that does kind of remind me of that style, which was kind of fun to hear. Suspenseful yet quiet with the violins. Again, we talked about how the crescendos are a big part of this. You know, getting really loud and really soft is something that we hear throughout this entire episode. And this is a little bit of a variation on the last track, especially with that sort of idea there as well.
Definitely. I really agree. You know, we do have that little indie motif in there that we heard just before. And, you know, something I do love is we have the fast strings and the high violins here. It's very, very suspenseful and mysterious, as where a lot of the other tracks are either very, very sneaking or they're big. This is not sneaking or, you know, happy. It's more suspenseful.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think there are sort of two themes. We have like some of the mellow tracks at the beginning with Boulevards of Barcelona, Picasso and Diaghilev. And then, yeah, these kind of last two tracks in the dressing room and the Contessa have been a, you know, kind of comparison between something very, very subtle and suspicious to a huge sort of grand fanfare. And here, kind of a mix of both there, as we have sort of a music in a large dialogue scene. And one thing I did want to mention as well, you brought up the indie motif. I did notice a little bit of a similarity to the indie motif from Perils of Cupid, Vienna 1908. It did sound very similar to that sort of creative adaptation that Rosenthal did for that specific motif in that episode. I did find some similarities to that one too, which is really, really cool to listen to. So let's listen to the first section here of Ballerina in Bondage.
And ending off that suspenseful track leads into something completely different. You know, this is fast-paced and kind of, you know, upbeat, and it's totally different style than what we heard just before this, and yet it's the same track? How does that happen? I'm not sure.
Right, exactly. You go from this really interesting opening theme here to a very upbeat theme with a great triumphant feel, and, you know, kind of also, I like also this motif here that is kind of a little more lighthearted and a little bit funny and sort of goes with the comic relief at the same time. And speaking of comic relief, very, very interesting how if you were to listen to this music alone, it does not convey the comic relief aspect of this episode at all, which I found to be very interesting. Usually, a lot of music conveys a certain mood or sort of theme about the episode. A good example of that would be Oganga, I guess, you know, with the J.S. Bach music. That conveyed a big theme in terms of sort of Albert Schweitzer's personality and sort of, I guess, his lightheartedness, I guess you could say. Whereas here, you're not really getting a lot of that. No doubt, I love the music from this, but very interesting how it doesn't necessarily perfectly pair with the comic relief, you know, kind of funny episode that we're watching while we're hearing this music. And that transitions into our final track from the Volume 1 CD, Lead for Breakfast, which is kind of a weird name, not gonna lie. It actually is a small quote that Nadia says in the film. Not sure if I agree with the choice of name there, but in any case, it is a really, really awesome track. We start with this deep, epic theme with the brass, and these violin arpeggios, to me, really communicate kind of what we talked about in the episode. The kind of Charlie Chaplin-style film of them running super fast to the actual theater and this sort of high-paced energy as they're scrambling to get the letter before the duel goes on.
Yeah, I mean, it really does convey that Charlie Chaplin feel. And Charlie Chaplin, for anybody who has seen any of his movies, is a complete goof and hilarious and basically comic relief.
Right.
I mean, Charlie Chaplin, hi, comic relief. How are you doing today?
Literally, I mean, he did kind of invent that sort of genre. Just the bumbling sort of physical humor is conveyed here, definitely. And I also like as well, even with these different events that are happening, again, solidifying these rhythms and these instrumentation sort of styles with the castanets and the guitar still present in this track as well.
Definitely, I completely agree. You know, it is really present in this track. And, you know, the guitar, it's back. You know, it's there in almost every track. And, the tracks would not be the same without the guitar. If there was no guitar and it was in any country, you know, if this was placed in any country in Spain or Mexico or any Spanish-speaking country, it would not be the same without a guitar.
No, it wouldn't. I think it really adds something very, very specific. And we've talked about these in a lot of the episodes, how certain instruments do have sort of a forefront role. And to me, it's the violins and the guitar in this one. Those are the two instruments that really are a staple of this episode, compared to, again, the woodwinds were really the staple of Austria and Petrograd. And, you know, of course, there's the trumpets, which were the big main motif in Phantom Train. So you do have instruments kind of being the important leading factor in a lot of these sort of instrumental pieces. And definitely that is conveyed well through the opening part of this track as well.
We have a big departure here from our first half, when we transition into the more minor kind of theme, which really signifies when they're looking for the letter to make sure it doesn't get burned. And then we kind of have these building strings as they run down to see to make sure to get the letter before it's burned in the incinerator.
Yeah, I do like the musical techniques that are used here to convey certain small elements of the actual scene. For example, when we have that building crescendo with the trumpets there, we see that the letter is gone. And then the small violin arpeggios are when they're running down the stairs and across the stage, you know? Those kinds of things, I like that Rosenthal adds those. They're really, really fun. And that transition into the duel as well is really awesome. That low sort of strings there as well. Similar motifs from the rest of the episode. And one thing I did notice a lot is Lead for Breakfast to me really takes an interesting variation on a lot of the themes that we heard from the Contessa. And when they're used in multiple places and tracks, to me that represents the main theme. So to me, some of these elements here do kind of represent the main theme, and they're coming up again at the end of the episode here. So let's listen to the interesting transition between sort of this low minor section of them sneaking around to the great fanfare of the duel between the Count and Colonel Schmidt.
And the last section of this piece represents something completely different than what we've heard before, because now, you know, they've gotten the letter back and, you know, they're all happy kind of resolving their differences. They're not going to duel anymore, and they celebrate with a nice bottle of champagne, and they have a little bit of an indie motif thrown in there.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. This might be my favorite motif from the entire episode. I love this awesome brass fanfare that does feel like music from this time period. Very epic, that sort of grand classical epic feel is communicated here through the brass section, who, you know, didn't have sort of the main themes or melodies in this episode, now get their chance to shine here. And I love those trombone glissandos in there. I don't know if for strings they're called glissandos. I don't know if there's a different term for them for brass instruments, but sort of this gliding, sort of going from one note to the next with the trombones there. We hear that, and the symbolism of, again, a happy ending. They've resolved their differences, and they, you know, cheers, you know, the Count and the Colonel. Meanwhile, Indy's like, what just happened? This was all a big waste of time. But I do like, again, very lighthearted comic relief episode, but a grand finale here with the soft accents from the trumpets, the mix of themes from the episodes, and the climactic end with the sort of interesting ode to Ballerina in Bondage as well. And then it ends with a great epic fanfare. Take a listen.
we are moving into our unreleased section of this episode, and starting off with Bistro Guitar from the Revolution DVD game. This track is just so beautiful because it's so simplistic, because we just have basically a strumming guitar the entire time, yet it's also intricate in a way.
Yeah, I really love the simplicity of this one. Again, this is another example of source music. This plays about 5 minutes into the episode when they're actually, Indy's meeting all the rest of the spies at that great bistro, and you hear the music and we see that lady dancing there. This is from that episode. Very simple theme. There's kind of an A section and a B section here. Simple strumming guitar. Great Spanish style that does kind of allude to what we've heard in these sort of big orchestral fanfare tracks. And again, keeping in mind the differences in terms of using sort of instrumental soloists in sort of orchestral music. And I do like that they just use the guitar here. And this was actually recorded for the episode. And I like tracks like this in movie soundtracks. And a great example of this is the theme from Schindler's List, which is the soloist of Itzhak Perlman, composed by John Williams, right? Just that great violin at the beginning there. Similar situation here in which composers can use a soloist, playing one instrument and using that throughout the episode in a variety of ways. So let's take a listen to Bistro Guitar.
Another interesting thing about this track is it's actually used in Staff of Kings in the Panama level, and that's just very interesting. You know, as we said, these tracks are used not just in here, but also in a lot of the video games that have been made, that were made after, you know, Young Indy was made. So it's very, very beautiful that they use this, and, you know, just very awesome, and it really moves very nice right into our next track, The Barbershop, which kind of, in the beginning there, has a little continuation of Bistro Guitar.
Indeed it does. I really like the opening style of this. We have that sort of accordion-style instrument there, which is brand new. We haven't heard that in any of the tracks so far. A variation on the other themes of Bistro Guitar. This is when Indy goes into that barbershop, and we as the audience don't know that it's sort of the secret bunker, I guess you could say. And he sits in the chair, and the guy, you know, grabs the razor. And I love as well the suspense of this, the plucking strings, the deep sound, the castanets still there. And I love as well the musical motifs that also convey Indy dropping down into the lair.
Yes, it really does, especially, you know, with the quiet strings and the strumming, and then at the very end there, the brass falls, kind of going way down the scale, and that's really what signifies him going down into that lair. So this track, you know, it really goes very, very well with what actually happens in this scene.
Thank you. into our last track from this episode and from the Revolution DVD game, we have Duel Accepted, which is a 16-second track here, which is a small motif used right after the actual ballet itself, when the Count and Colonel Schmidt challenge each other to a duel. We have a very short theme here with a muted trumpet and suspenseful tension with the end note with the castanets here, the violin tremolo. And the thing that I find so powerful about this is that entire scene with dialogue is about 3 minutes long. There's no music, yet Lucas decided to use a small 15-second track right then and there when he actually challenges him to the duel. Very interesting there.
Definitely, it is very interesting, especially considering this is only 16 seconds, and yet they pack so much into this. You know, I wonder if they, why they even added this, and you know George Lucas, he has to add music every possible place he ever can, and so this is probably another one of his crazy ideas, just to add a little snippet there, just to kind of, you know, go along with them accepting the duel.
Yeah, a very inventive kind of idea. Curious as to why they came up with the idea to put music here. Again, if you listen to the episode, it is powerful because it was so quiet before and the music just blares right in. So let's listen to Duel Accepted. And with the great fanfare ending from that track, we are now moving into something entirely different with the music from the second half of this episode, Prague 1917. Starting off with Stamp It, Administrative Error from the TV credits. And because of that, this track does have a little bit lower quality than the others, but still is a great one from this episode. And we start off with a brand new style with a kind of short woodwind theme that I really like that transitions into a nice fanfare trumpet march.
Yes, and unfortunately, there is no guitar in these three tracks from Prague. Sadly, bye-bye, Mr. Guitar. But hello, a completely different style of music with brass and woodwinds and strength. And this is a lot more upbeat. There is suspenseful, but a lot of this is more upbeat and kind of, you know, fast-paced than some of the tracks in the previous episode. So this is really, really beautiful and really kind of has a completely different feel to it.
One thing that's very interesting about the end of this track here is you will notice these sort of sharp accents at the end. There's three of them with the trumpets there. And actually, if you watch the episode very closely, Rosenthal did a great thing in the spotting session of this, as he made note of when Indy is at the Ministry of Telephones and gets those three stamps on his form finally. And actually, the music is synced perfectly with when he stamps all three of them on Indy's paper, and it's absolutely really fun to listen to. So again, going with that idea of sort of the music conveying something in a scene, I really like that they threw that in there.
Yes, and speaking of the synchronization and something fun to listen to, our next track, The Amazing Flight of the Filing Cabinet. We start off with these beautiful woodwinds and strings and the brass, and then it changes.
Yes, this track, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've been listening to film scores for so long and so many years, I don't think I've ever heard a track that evokes a certain sort of scene more than this one. When you really break this track down and listen to the musical techniques and how certain instruments convey something so specific, right? I mean, this isn't just, oh, there's an action scene, or, oh, they're taking the filing cabinet down the stairs. You really can't imagine when you listen to this what happens actually when they take the cabinet down the stairs. You know, when they slips on the brush, when Kafka sneezes, when all the papers go flying, all that stuff you really can envision so well here. And that, to me, represents very, very good music. And it starts off, like you said, with this exciting theme. And the volume does kind of convey the mood as we have that sort of open, upbeat theme. And then it gets soft as Indy realizes, uh-oh, I'm going to have to take this entire thing down this huge flight of stairs. And it ends kind of on that sort of suspenseful feel right there.
After that, the cabinet goes flying down the stairs and starts knocking the scaffolding throughout the entire stairwell off. And meanwhile, they're painting the, you know, wall. So all of this paint goes flying everywhere. And that's really kind of, you know, signified here with the lovely brass and the flute theme kind of plays there at the end. Really beautiful and really signifies what all is happening in this action-packed scene.
Right, and especially the fast rhythm of the eighth notes and the 16th notes there really kind of get your heart racing. And I do like that combination of instrumentation there with the bells, the violins, the trombones, the flutes, kind of this sort of very high-pitched sound, I guess you could say. And, you know, we have these great arpeggios. The harp is thrown in there, some low cello notes, all sorts of fun stuff. And I do like as well how we talked about this a lot in the last episode, how certain sort of musical techniques do kind of represent sound effects. And we do have that here, and especially in this next section here as well, which is really great. We switch from this flute to this blaring trumpet that is timed perfectly with when, you know, Kafka slips on the paintbrush, the cabinet goes flying down. And so let's listen to this next section here and really see if you can imagine the actual scene itself.
Coming off of that, we go into another action-packed scene, but not as much, and it's really when this kind of whole flight of the filing cabinet kind of ends. And, you know, I really love how they added a piano in there, because that really signifies, you know, what is happening. And then the strings go up and down the scale, kind of signifying that it's, you know, really, you know, everything is kind of happening. And then there's a big slide whistle swoop to signify that the filing cabinet goes flying and then explodes.
Yeah, I absolutely love the end there so much. Very cool instrumentation, that slide whistle. Ooh, very interesting. As you see the cabinet fly into the other room, and right when it falls, you see all of the people at their desk working, and the bells there and harp symbolize the paper just gently falling, which is a kind of juxtaposes, you know, the entire race that we have just witnessed here. The fast violin theme sliding down the stairs. What an absolutely fantastic track that actually comes from Rosenthal's promotional CD, Music for Television, which is kind of cool. He did a promotional CD back in the late 90s, and there's three tracks from Young Indy that were never previously released. This one from Prague, and then also one from Travels with Father and Hollywood Follies, both scores which received Emmy Awards in the late 90s as well. So we'll obviously talk about those when we get to those respective episodes. And let's listen to the final measures of The Amazing Flight of the Filing Cabinet.
And transitioning into a completely different type of style of music, we have Connecting the Cable from the Staff of Kings video game, starting off with a big brass hit and then some fluttering staccato strings. But then it's fluttering really fast when he pauses and looks at the clock.
Yeah, I love that scene right there, actually. When you hear that interesting instrumentation and that kind of pause right there, as you know, you get that pan in the actual episode of the clock there as we kind of look at it. And very cool sound. Violins and woodwinds are really what's used heavily here, with this fluttering flute and the violins going up and down the scale here. Really, really like this. We have this low cello rhythm as well, which is very, very nice. And for the actual game of Staff of Kings, this music was heavily edited down to a couple minutes for gameplay purposes. So it's kind of an interesting arrangement of that entire long sequence in which Indy connects the cable, finds the wires. There's a lot going on. And the instrumentation for this is extremely unique, kind of going back to what we talked about with Wrong Compartment in Austria. Something very unique and original, brand new. I really, really find this instrumentation quite interesting in this first section here of Connecting the Cable.
Transitioning from our harsh theme that we heard before, we transitioned into these cellos and violins kind of building up, and we also hear an indie motif there, which is really, really beautiful. It's another one of those indie motifs that you really don't hear. You only hear four or five times throughout this entire episode in general. And, you know, the strings, and they just build and build and build into the end of this track here.
Yeah, I love, again, very similar to Boulevards of Barcelona, in which the track just gradually builds to the climax at the end of this here. You know, he's connecting the wires, the time runs out. I'm never, ever touching a telephone or getting one installed again. I mean, this track definitely goes very well with that sort of suspenseful idea, right? We obviously kind of get the whole idea of, you know, him connecting, you know, the wires, and everything is just kind of time's running out. You do get that here, but it's not a super high, fast-paced action piece. Again, it has a very interesting style and feel to it, especially with the arpeggios at the end there. Very, very interesting style of music that is played during this climactic scene.
You know, I really love how it's very, very climactic in this track. And speaking of which, how does Indy not get, like, spotted by the police climbing on a public telephone pole is my question.
Oh, yeah.
That's really not the point, but just what? Anyway, moving into our final track for our soundtrack review today, Sad Face, we are looking at A Train to Catch, which is from the DVD credits of this episode, starting off with a beautiful fanfare.
Yeah, I love the fluttering intro of this one, which we heard in the opening of the last episode. And we have this cool trumpet theme, the violin slurs, a very specific sound with action. And I also really want to make note of those interval changes. At the end of the track, the violins have different interval changes there, which kind of communicate Indy running and running and running, you know, that buildup of him trying to catch the train there. I love how this is used as well in the end credits. We see Indy hanging by a thread on that pole, and it blasts into a train to catch, which is a phenomenal piece here as well. Again, another kind of very specific sound. I don't really know how I would describe the instrumentation in this second half here. I've been looking for the words for it because Prague has such an interesting musical style to it. Rosenthal, again, very unique in terms of his composing. One of the best to do it. One of the most underrated, I think. He's just an absolutely phenomenal composer. And what a better track to end off the score review than A Train to Catch. Take a listen. And with that, we will now conclude our score review for Espionage Escapades, Barcelona 1917, and Prague 1917, two contradictory episodes that work very well together and have lots of interesting musical techniques, styles, and lots to talk about in this great score full of music. So, what are some of our favorite tracks in this episode and just overall opinions on this soundtrack?
You know what? This is almost gotta be certainly, if not a close second, one of my favorite soundtrack reviews from all of Young Indie in general. The soundtrack is so beautiful. But I do have my favorites, and my favorite track from this episode has gotta be The Amazing Flight of the Filing Cabinet, because there are so many different tones and instruments to use in that track. You know, there's, you know, in the beginning it's not as, you know, suspenseful, and then there's the piano and the slide whistle, and it's just so very much, you know, kind of is tailored to what is happening, and it has a lot of depth and is different than any of the other tracks, and that has gotta be why it's my favorite thing. Also, the episode, this has got to be almost one of my favorite scenes from that episode. It's super hilarious and super funny.
Yeah, I definitely think the music adds to that scene so well. Like I mentioned, just the musical sort of imagination, I guess you could say, for this scene, how it pairs so well with what actually happens in the episode. Absolutely phenomenal. However, I'm a fan of classical music, and for that reason, I think my favorite track from this episode has to be The Contessa. 6 to 7 minutes of just pure genius from Rosenthal. I truly believe that Barcelona 1917 is the most underrated soundtrack of Young Indiana Jones. I'm sure that is a very debatable argument, but I still think it's absolutely very well done. I love the use of Scheherazade here. It blends so well with the style, and then like you said, Prague is such an inventive score review that I love those musical odes to, you know, The Amazing Flight of the Filing Cabinet, A Train to Catch, so much to like here. And probably my favorite motif from this episode has to be from Lead for Breakfast. Oh, I love that trumpet theme at the end there. Absolutely fantastic. Now, before we end this episode, there are two things I did want to mention. First off, we've been telling you to subscribe to the channel Young Indie Score, which has a lot of great music from Young Indie. And recently, about a few weeks ago, he just posted a great video of the arrangement of Scheherazade that is used in Young Indie. As we mentioned, the entire episode was actually temp-tracked with music from Scheherazade, and the ballet itself does feature the original recording from Rimsky-Korsakov's soundtrack for that. And so, what's very interesting about this is there was actually a specific 7-minute arrangement made for the episode. So he took a bunch of the movements, matched them up to how it plays in the episode, and paired it with the actual scene from the episode as well on his YouTube channel. So if you're interested in seeing that and listening to the music, we will pop a link to that on our Facebook page as well. And one more thing I did want to mention, for those movie soundtrack enthusiasts out there, some of you may be familiar with the great group, The Piano Guys. And back in 2016, they did a great arrangement of called Indiana Jones and the Arabian Nights, their sort of take on the music of Indiana Jones, in which they combined John Williams' track Finale and End Credits and Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. And it has never been confirmed or denied whether that was actually a subtle reference to Young Indy or whether just a pure coincidence. It is a really, really cool track. If you haven't heard of the Piano Guys, they do sort of arrangements of sort of movie soundtracks and sort of more modern day music. They're a really cool band that came out of many years ago, and their arrangement of Indiana Jones is really interesting, and there's a great music video for it with it's two guys, a cellist and a pianist, and they just do an absolutely phenomenal job and did put Scheherazade in their remix of Indiana Jones. And so a lot of people have always wondered, and I definitely have, is this a reference to Espionage Escapades from Young Indy, or rather just a pure coincidence? You can decide for yourself by checking out that music video, and we will put a link to it on our Facebook page. And with that, it is a perfect segue into the end of today's episode. Thanks again for joining us. And if you're new to the podcast, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and many other podcast platforms. If you'd like to learn more about our podcast, you can visit our website at www.theindianajonesuniverse.com. We've got all our podcast episodes listed there for your listening convenience, as well as a great links page in which you can learn more about the expanded universe of Indiana Jones. And finally, to stay up to date on news and announcements and be part of the indie community here, make sure to follow us and like us over on our Facebook page. You can find us there at the Indiana Jones Universe Podcast. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Once again, I'm Max.
And I'm Will.
And until next time,
so long, Dr. Jones.